Well, this morning's gospel reading is the lectionary text for the week, and I'm only going to read the gospel reading that is in your bulletin. I won't read from Kings. Noe did a wonderful job of sharing it with you during the time with the children. So here are the word of God from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? He said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold on to human tradition. And then he called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In C.S. Lewis's sermon, The Weight of Glory, Lewis writes about the meaning and purpose of life, why we were born, and where we are destined for. And to poorly summarize, he says, we who have been born in the image of God are longing to receive the glory of God. And the glory of God comes when he says to us in the end, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we most long for. To hear our God say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the case for every human being. In fact, Lewis writes, each of us is truly an eternal being. We're all headed somewhere. Every single person that you meet is a person that you will have an impact upon in their journey. There's a quote from the end of the sermon that summarizes Lewis's point. All day long, we are, in some degree, helping each other to a destination. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and circumspection proper to them, that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nation, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as that of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors? Your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. Wow, hear that again. Your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. You have never talked with a mere mortal. It is immortals who we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. And Jesus understood this. It seems that every time that he turns around in the gospel, Jesus sees eternal beings. He's challenging the conventional wisdom of the day. And the reason he pauses before these immortals is that he sees something that we often don't see. He sees someone who is on his or her way to eternity. And as Lewis said it, Jesus never sees an ordinary human being. The exchange that we read in Mark's gospel story today almost says it all. He's eating with his disciples, and the Pharisees and the scribes sit down to join him. And they realize that the disciples haven't washed their hands yet. And the Pharisees and the scribes feel that they need to follow the letter of the law, and they're highly offended by this. And Jesus challenges their hypocrisy. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but it is what comes out of us which is defiling. It is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. That is what defiles. And what Jesus is saying is that what is more important than all the laws is what is happening in our hearts and how we share that. It matters. It matters when you brush shoulders with the eternal creatures that are in your midst. It matters how we regard the unordinary people that cross our paths. It matters how we relate to people who are not interesting, or even worse, who seem to be an impediment to us. As we talked about in the book of 1 Kings, a story is told. It's a story of Ahab and Jezebel, king and queen of Israel. And Ahab has his sights on a vineyard next to his palace in Jezreel. And the vineyard is owned by a man by the name of Naboth. It's a vineyard that had been passed down to him through generations in his family. But the king wants the vineyard. He wants to turn it into a vegetable garden. It'd be perfect for him. And he even makes Naboth a deal, a good deal, a great deal. I'll even give you a better garden. I just want your garden. And Naboth says no. And when Naboth says no, he becomes an impediment. No longer a neighbor, now an impediment. And Jezebel gets word of Ahab's disappointment and pouting and says, "What's the problem? You're the king. Treat him for what he is." And as the story goes, she conspires to have Naboth killed, all because he owned the wrong garden in the wrong place at the wrong time. Was Naboth an eternal creature or an impediment? The family tradition on Easter has become going out to brunch after services. And a couple of years ago, we went to a restaurant with a great view of New York City. And even though we had reservations, we waited a long time to be seated. Eventually seated, it took even longer to order the food. And the waiters seemed to be avoiding every table around the restaurant. People were complaining to the waiters, and I eventually had to use the bathroom, which was right next to the kitchen. And in the kitchen, I could hear clearly arguing and yelling and a lot of profanity. Something had gone badly wrong in the kitchen. Something clearly outside the control of our wait staff, but for so many, it didn't matter. They just regarded the wait staff as the problem. They became the representatives of the problem, the impediment to a full stomach. If you took into consideration the situation from the staff's perspective, it was likely one of the worst days of their life. Imagine their frustration at the end of the night, the confusion over trying to do their best job that they could in the face of hungry, angry, impatient diners. Did it kill a little spirit? Did it harm the eternal beings? My daughter Emily works at King's, and on the occasion that I pick her up from work, I hear all about the customers that come to King's and how some of them behave. And thankfully, it's far away enough from here that I know that it isn't any of you. You know, customers don't always behave very well at King's. And when unkind words are said, it takes a toll. It matters what we do. It matters what we say. We are all eternal beings. You have never spoken with a mere mortal. Robert Fulham published his best-selling book, All I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And it talks about the wonders of what we learn at an early age, because what you're learning in kindergarten is what it means to be human. And what does it mean to regard other humans? And his list in part included share everything, play fair, don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. And say sorry when you hurt someone. The list goes on, but what the list doesn't say may be the most important thing. And that is the premise to all of life itself. That none of these rules matter if we don't see ourselves for who we are. that we are children of God, eternally destined. So the grimace that the customer makes at the table, or the disregard for the checkout girl at the market, or the deadly covetousness of a king for our garden, or the way that we approach a person in need, it all sets into motion the path that people take. You know, I got thinking of this when I hear of things happening in our world. There's so much that is concerning in our world. There's hate speech and tensions because of incredible poverty and disease. There's elderly declaring bankruptcy under the crushing load of medical bills, and the list is a mile long. And even though we may not want to acknowledge these issues from our comforts, we are nevertheless forced to look. What do we see? What do we see in the people all around us? Do we see eternal creatures? Have I ever told you the story about Donald Driver? Donald Driver grew up in Houston and from an early age was in trouble. In seventh grade, he learned from his brother the art of stealing cars, and at age 12, he became a car thief. He would steal car after car, night after night, and he did it to get money to support his family who had been living in the back of a U-Haul truck. And one night, he had just started up another one of his stolen cars when he heard sirens. In his haste to escape, he came barreling down the street. And he didn't notice the elderly woman who was backing her car out of the driveway, and he broadsided her, going very fast. He jumped out of his car and started sprinting, but something told him to go back. Go back and check on the woman. And when he did, he found her all right, and by that time, the police were almost upon him. And he looked at the woman, and then at the approaching police cars, and that's when he heard the old woman say, "Go and sit on my porch." And he did. And when the police came, they asked, "Who's that on your porch?" And she said, "That's my grandson." When the police had gone, the old woman walked up to the porch and told Driver to get into the house, where she tore him up and down and told him that this was his chance to turn around. He didn't do it right away, but that one gesture of grace, of love, of caring, it dogged him until he realized that maybe the old lady was right. Maybe there was more to life than his life of crime. And the rest, they say, is history. You may recognize that name, Donald Driver, because in 2012, after 14 seasons with the Green Bay Packers, he retired one of the greatest receivers of all time. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame last year. But the amazing thing is that he isn't only a star receiver. He holds the record for the Green Bay Packers for the most community service appearances. He holds the record for the most honorarium dollars that go into the Donald Driver Foundation. It's used to help people in need. He's loved by fans. He's an all-around great guy. And every year he makes trips back to Houston because that's where the old Donald Driver lived, the car thief. And he goes back to visit a woman by the name of Grandma Johnson, the woman who saved his life, the woman who loved him first and asked questions later, the one who regarded him, who saw him as an everlasting splendor, an eternal being. There are no ordinary human beings. There are no mere mortals. All day long, we come into contact with eternal beings. We are eternal creatures. And how we treat each other, it does matter. Amen.